Just a couple updates. I am currently writing the next book that is estimated to be released in September. It's going to have a lot of interesting concepts and everything. So it's going to teach you how to think like a watchmaker. If you want to find out more information, take a look at the link in the description. And without further ado, let's get started. We're going to go old school today, ladies and gents. So today what we're going to talk about are what are some materials that watchmakers have tried to use and failed in the past. So this could be a very interesting episode because I don't really see many people talk about this. But over the years, watchmakers have experimented with various metals to create watch components that are durable, accurate, and aesthetic, right? So some of these materials have been successful, which is what you guys are seeing now in your watches, but many have failed. So here are some examples, right? So I'm gonna dive right into it. And so earlier days, watchmakers tried to use glass for watch crystals. So however, glass was very fragile, as you guys know, and would often crack or shatter, making it a very unsuitable material. But glass has been a material of interest and experimentation for watchmakers throughout history, right? So the transparency of the glass makes it a very attractive option for watchmakers who want to show off the intricate movements and inside the movement of the watch, right? So exactly why we use sapphire crystals nowadays. But there were some challenges that came with using glass as a material, right? So one of the primary challenges was the fragility of the glass. It was susceptible to cracking and breaking under pressure or impact. And for the longest time when we used it, it was shattering on us, you know. It was, you got to remember, glass is relatively heavy compared to other materials that we use in watchmaking, so it impacted the overall weight and balance of the watch. So when you had glass as a crystal on the front or even on the case back, it was ridiculously heavy. So despite these challenges, a lot of watchmakers have experimented with using the glass. So one example is the Corning Gorilla Glass, right? I'll say it again, Corning. So like your Corning, C-O-R-N-I-N-G, Corning. Corning Gorilla Glass, which is a type of chemically strengthened glass that is used, is actually being used in some of the high-end watches. So this type of glass is designed to be more durable and resistant than your traditional glass, so it's more resistant to impact and it's pretty viable. It's a little heavy, expensive, and a little bit more fragile, right? So another example of glass now is the Hoptroff number 10 watch. So the Hoptroff Hoptroff number 10. Hoptroff number 10 watch. It features a glass disc that displays the time instead of traditional hands. So inside the watch on the dial, it uses a glass disc to tell the time. So the glass disc is etched with numbers and markings that indicate the time, and it rotates around the dial of the watch to show the current time. While glass has been a material of interest for watchmakers for the longest time, the fragility and weight makes it a very challenging material to work with. So when we're working on watches and we're creating these things, we have to factor all these things into account. But with advances in material science and engineering, it's possible that we can see a more innovative use for glass in the future, right? So the second material that we used before was wood. I'm sure you guys have seen the watches with wood in them. So I'm sure you've seen wooden cases, etc. But watchmakers have attempted to use wood for watch cases. And the unfortunate issue is that it's too porous. It's too susceptible to moisture damage. So it causes the watch to malfunction a lot. So from a standpoint of longevity, using wood on the outside is not ideal. But wood is a natural material and it's been used in watchmaking throughout history, actually. So some of the earliest clocks were made entirely of wood. However, it does have its drawbacks. One of the main issues with wood: not durable, prone to cracking, warping. So depending on the temperature, it could definitely warp, expand. You ever notice during the summertime, if you have wood indoors at home, it's a little it expands a little, and during the wintertime it shrinks a little. Wooden cases also split, so anything with wood has the chances and percentage of splitting, especially when exposed to changes in temperature or humidity. And so this could lead to inaccuracies in timekeeping or complete failure of the movement inside. So something to think about. And another issue, actually, for you to think about, is highly flammable. Wood is extremely flammable. So this makes it unsuitable for watches that are exposed to extremely high temperatures, open fire, open flames. So if you're in an industrial or military setting, I don't know, I wouldn't wear a wooden watch if I were you. So despite these challenges, you know, modern watchmakers nowadays, they've experimented with using wood in their design. With new technology, they're able to stabilize or treat the wood that has been hardened and make it durable. Some wooden usage they use as accents or decorative elements for the design. Sometimes in the dial they use it for, sometimes on the band, the watch strap, right? But even though wood has a long history in watchmaking, it's just not a material that is widely used. I wouldn't buy a watch that has wood on it. But it's not to say that it's not good. It just has its inherent limitations and challenges, and maybe in the future we'll see changes in it. But as you can see, there's not many wooden usage. There's not many usage of wood in watchmaking today. But back in the days, we used wood a lot. And as you can see, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but a lot of the older clocks, it has that mystique, antique, and history behind it, yes. But would I rely on it in today's settings? Nah, I wouldn't personally. But maybe you like it. You know, if you like it, then shit, go for it. The next material we've used in watchmaking is ivory. Yes, ivory. So ivory was used for watch dials and cases, actually, in the 18th and 19th centuries. One of the common brands today would be Cartier. So Cartier used ivory dials for the longest time, and a lot of vintage watch collectors love their dials, love the Cartier ivory dials. And but it's the companies don't make anymore. So a lot of these companies, when you send it in, it's generally either replaced, and if it's not replaced, if it's in good condition, they won't replace it. But if it sometimes is cracking, peeling, or damaged, then yes, they're going to replace it, and you're not going to have an ivory dial anymore. But back to the topic. So ivory is porous and tends to discolor over time. So while for us watchmakers, it makes it a very unreliable material for watchmaking, for collectors and watch enthusiasts, they love it because the discoloration is what they look for, right? So I mean, you look at the Rolex fanboy, they love the patina, etc. It's unique. The unique qualities of the durability and beauty make it a very attractive choice, right? So the use of ivory in watchmaking has you also have to look at it from this perspective. It's been a very controversial issue. So the use of ivory in watchmaking has been a very controversial issue because of unethical treatments of the elephants and other animals for the ivory. So if we take a look at ethics and all that, then yes, you can argue that ivory should never be used. But in the 18th and 19th century, that's what we did, right? So in the past, ivory was commonly used for dials and the decorative elements due to its ability to be carved and polished. So the material itself, we were able to create intricate designs with it. It was also used for keys and knobs for pocket watches. Yes, don't make that joke. Knobs, watch, no BS watchmaker knobs, yes. But it was also used for keys and knobs in pocket watches. However, as you can see, you know, the use of ivory has declined in the 20th century because of the ethical and environmental concerns surrounding its acquisition. So acquiring the ivory has been very unethical, right? So the ivory trade led to the decline of elephant populations, and the use of ivory is now banned in countries. So as a result, watchmakers have had to use other materials or find alternatives that give a similar quality to ivory, such as bone or synthetic materials that mimic the appearance of ivory. So despite the ethical concerns, vintage, antique watches, etc. They have ivory dials, and the accents are made very, very sought after by collectors. But you have to remember, you know, the use of ivory in new watches is very, 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 very rare. It does happen, though. It's very, very rare, but it's usually restricted to antique style reproductions or restorations. Okay, so the next material, the next and final material, okay, aluminum. Aluminum was used in watch cases in the early 20th century because it was lightweight, inexpensive, but the downsides of aluminum was that it scratched easily and was very prone to corrosion, and it was not suitable for high-end watches. So even though aluminum was lightweight, it was silvery white metal, you know, it looks cool, you know, had low density, high strength to weight ratio. It was very resistant to corrosion. It made it a very attractive metal to use in watchmaking. The use of aluminum in watchmaking can be traced to the early 20th century, where it was first used in construction of a watch case, right? So aluminum cases were initially popular because it was, again, lightweight, durable. They were resistant to rust and corrosion. However, it proved to be less successful as a material for watch movements. The problem with that is that as a movement material, it didn't have the right melting point. So it's mixed feelings. So as you can see, it's a very mixed feeling. Aluminum is a very mixed feeling material. It's susceptible to deformation, high temperatures it can't handle, and you run into a lot of stability issues with aluminum. So even though it was great, it's lightweight, inexpensive, it was rust and corrosion resistant, the material itself just wasn't ideal, because I'm trying my best to break this down into layman terms, but it just wasn't stable. It wasn't, it's not a stable metal to use. So it was deforming a lot at certain temperatures. It wasn't ideal, right? So watchmakers were forced to develop new alloys to retain the lightweight, corrosion resistant properties of aluminum while improving its heat resistance. So one such alloy is called aluminum bronze, right? So while we still use elements of aluminum, pure aluminum, we've already strayed away from. So what we've done is we mix certain alloys into that aluminum to create a better version of aluminum. So again, one such alloy was aluminum bronze, which is really just a mixture of aluminum and copper, if you really want to think about it. But it's used now, not purely aluminum, but a mixture of aluminum and with different alloys and whatnot, primarily for cases, sometimes for bezels, sometimes for crowns. It's been largely replaced by other metals like stainless steel, titanium, ceramic, for more critical components due to its relatively low strength and heat resistance compared to other materials. So it's not to say that we failed using aluminum. That's why it was kind of tricky to say this, but it's because aluminum itself by itself was very unstable. If we're looking at gold, anytime we look at gold, you almost see 18K, 24K. Like, we're looking at alloys of gold, right? So we're looking at a mixture, a combination of gold. With aluminum, it's great, has all the good properties that we would like, but at the same time, the current usage of aluminum is an alloyed mixture. So pure aluminum itself is not ideal. It's not consistent. It's not stable. It's not as reliable as the mixed alloys version of aluminum. So having said that, these are the failed materials, quote unquote, of watchmaking, of what we used to use in the past and sometimes still use slightly now. And hopefully this was a refreshing take on things. I know I don't actually see many people talking about stuff like this, and everyone's always talking about Watches and Wonders and these new releases, etc. But I figured I'd throw this curveball at you guys. Other than that, I hope you and wish you guys have a great day. Take care. Before we end it, if you like what you listen to, please subscribe. Please give a follow. Let me know what you think. I would love to hear your opinions.